Support comes from Mosby Building Arts, creating bathrooms for daily rejuvenation. More at callmosby.com.
From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Friday, February 7th. I'm Abby Larico. Small business owners in the St. Louis region have felt the financial impact of President Donald Trump's plan to carry out mass deportations. Some say those without legal status have essentially disappeared from their shops.
So they're scared to sit down and eat, just waiting to see if something's going to happen to them, if immigration's going to show up too, because they're targeting all these Mexican restaurants and stuff.
Now the business community is banding together to find a way to push back. That story coming up after this news on The Gateway. Illinois lawmakers on both sides of the aisle say they're disappointed to see the state named in a suit over its law limiting cooperation with immigration authorities. The U.S. Department of Justice is arguing that Illinois' Trust Act and other policies are, quote, further exacerbating this national crisis. Democratic State Senator Omar Aquino helped pass the Trust Act in 2017.
Our resources shouldn't be going towards assisting the federal government in doing the work that they should be doing.
Meanwhile, Senate GOP leader John Curran is pushing a bill that would repeal the Trust Act.
If we act, this lawsuit becomes moot, and there's no reason for the court to deal with it.
In a statement, State Attorney General Kwame Raoul says his office will defend the law in court. Families in the St. Louis region who need nutritious meals can now choose from many options at the International Institute's first food pantry. The partnership with Operation Food Search will help feed 40 families each week. St. Louis Public Radio's Andrea Henderson reports.
The International Institute is offering an array of vegetables, pasta, and packaged items to immigrants and other families in the area. It'll also offer culturally appropriate foods like halal meats and chickpeas. The Institute opened the pantry because it saw increased food insecurity among its clients. Maria Jose Romo Palafox is a nutrition professor at St. Louis University. She says newly arrived immigrants often go hungry because some foods here are unfamiliar.
And it's not just the fact that there are foods in our home countries that we don't have here. There's also a difference in taste with the same product, same brand.
The Institute will offer food on Mondays between 1 and 4 p.m. I'm Andrea Henderson, St. Louis Public Radio.
Missouri Senate Republicans changed a proposal bill this week to include language that removes the expiration date on a law barring transgender minors from accessing gender-affirming care. St. Louis Public Radio's Sarah Kellogg reports on that bill's fate moving forward.
The legislation began as a bill that repealed the expiration date related to certain construction projects. It quickly ballooned on the Senate floor into legislation repealing sunsets on a multitude of laws, including the expiration date on the ban on gender-affirming care for transgender minors. Senate Minority Leader Doug Beck said their caucus supports some of the bill because it would repeal the sunset on a tax that funds roughly one-third of the state's Medicaid program.
What the FRA does is it actually allows the vast majority of Missourians to get health care. And we think that's important. That can no longer be leveraged.
Senate Democrats did filibuster the legislation to end debate for now. In Jefferson City, I'm Sarah Kellogg, St. Louis Public Radio.
A small hospital on St. Louis's north side remains closed more than a month after it shut down due to a lack of blood. St. Louis Public Radio's Sarah Fenton reports on Homer G. Phillips Memorial Hospital.
The 3-bed hospital on North Jefferson Avenue shut down in mid-December after an unplanned visit from state officials found problems with the facility. Those problems included a lack of blood. In an email shared with St. Louis Public Radio, hospital administrators wrote to furloughed employees that they would reimburse workers unpaid wages. That reimbursement would be only $12.30 an hour, the state's minimum wage in 2024. The email said the hospital was working to come up with the remainder of the money to pay employees in full. Since the closure, at least two plaintiffs are suing the hospital in St. Louis courts, claiming they have yet to be paid. Hospital representatives did not respond to interview requests. I'm Sarah Fenton, St. Louis Public Radio.
Recorder of Deeds Michael Butler is not the only candidate running for mayor of St. Louis on a campaign of getting back to basics. But as St. Louis Public Radio's Rachel Lippman reports, he says he has the experience to back up his promises.
Butler points to the work he did as recorder of deeds to expand online options and centralize the pickup of essential documents like birth certificates. He says it boosted the revenue generated by $700,000 a year. Butler also has a master's degree in public administration, and he says he really enjoys what he calls the unsexy parts of being an elected official.
I don't want to be a ceremonial mayor, in no way. I want to dive deep into our city government and use my experience to improve it.
Butler was a guest on the Politically Speaking podcast. He is one of four candidates running for mayor. Voters can choose none, some, or all of them in the March 4th primary, while the top two advance to the general. I'm Rachel Lipman, St. Louis Public Radio.
And you can find our series of Politically Speaking episodes with all four St. Louis mayoral candidates at stlpr.org. Foresters across the country are asking private landowners for help saving white oak trees. As Jana Rose Schleiss reports, Missourians have eagerly answered that call.
More than 40 people recently signed up to help the University of Missouri Extension and the State Department of Conservation plant and raise white oak tree seedlings. Brian Schweiss is a sustainable forestry specialist with MU Extension and says the white oak is a critical component of the forest ecosystem. However, young trees are struggling.
We have a lot of mature white oak. Everybody loves our mature forest, and we have a lot of nice, big, mature trees. But we don't have a lot of young trees that are coming up, replacing the mature trees that they are harvested or died.
Schweiss says 83% of Missouri's forests are privately owned. MU Extension is compiling a waiting list for landowners interested in learning to manage forests for white oak development. I'm Jana Rose Schleiss.
President Donald Trump's plans to conduct mass deportations have some local immigrant communities on edge. St. Louis Public Radio's Brian Munoz reports how a Salvadoran restaurant in North St. Louis County and other local businesses are finding ways to push back.
The air is filled with the aroma of searing meats, fried plantains, and spice at El Guanaco. Dinora Soler and a couple of employees dance around each other as a smattering of orders come in during a recent lunch rush. But she says the atmosphere in the neighborhood has faded since January 20th. And so have her sales.
Well, I've seen big changes. Our sales have dropped, I think, 80%. It's been a huge change.
As businesses like Soler see fewer customers, the fear surrounding heightened immigration enforcement has become personal for many in the community. Maria is a woman without legal status who resides in St. Louis County. She says she's avoided Mexican grocers and restaurants for fear of being targeted by federal immigration officials. St. Louis Public Radio is withholding her last name due to the threat of deportation.
No puedo pensar en que puedo arriesgarme a manejar en cualquier lugar.
I can't risk driving anywhere because I'm risking that one day my children won't see mom come home. It's sad to see how many people support this, but above all, how many people are doing nothing.
Some experts warn large-scale deportations could severely impact the economy, with estimates from the American Immigration Council suggesting a potential loss of roughly 4 to 7% of the country's GDP, alongside what they call a significant decline in tax revenue. A Missouri House Interim Committee estimates that in 2022, people without legal status contributed nearly $114 million in state taxes. But advocates point out these individuals can't access the public benefits they help fund, like Medicaid and Social Security. While the total economic impact of Trump's newest policies is yet to be seen, local business owners, many of them who rely on immigrant workers, are coming together to show just how essential their contributions are. On a recent evening, about 40 small business owners and community members pack into a small room at another Mexican restaurant in North St. Louis County. The meeting is a rendezvous of various underground aid networks attempting to strategize how to best help friends, family, and neighbors without legal status. Antonio Garcia is the owner of La Tejana, a taqueria and market in St. Anne. He says this work is more important now than ever.
Our community is very scared of what's going on. I have been talking to leaders of the community. How can we help them? How can we distribute more information on what to do and how to do it?
USA, no race! No KKK, no racist USA!
One attendee organized a protest that brought more than 1,000 people to downtown St. Louis. Another began collecting donations to cover groceries and legal fees. Then an idea was floated. What if the Hispanic community held a week-long strike? No work, no school, no spending money.
I feel like a week without immigrants would definitely make an impact and maybe open some eyes to see that we really are important here and we really do matter.
That's Gabby Moreno, a 28-year-old organizer from Hazelwood, helping coordinate the action that begins on Tuesday. She says their goal is to show the wide-sweeping economic and labor contributions those who lack legal status have in the state. El Guanaco and La Tejana are part of roughly 30 St. Louis area businesses participating in the action. Garcia says he hopes the strike will shine a light on immigration issues, and the time off will help ease some of his workers' stress.
No amount of money can replace peace of mind, so we were going to lose some money that week, but we're going to gain a lot more.
Despite the uncertainty and fear for the current moment, many like Maria remain determined. For them, the fight isn't just for survival. It's about holding on to hope for a better future.
Sin embargo, bajo cualquier circunstancia, nos levantamos
y no matter what, we rise. We fight for one more day. We fight for one more dream. We fight to believe the hope that tomorrow will be better for our children.
Those participating hope that this week will help the region better understand the contributions of immigrants and unite to support them. In Overland, I'm Brian Munoz, St. Louis Public Radio.
Our Jessica Rogan edited that piece. You can learn more about how small business owners in the St. Louis area are responding to the federal government's new immigration policies at stlpr.org. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Theme music is by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway. Thanks so much for listening.